All right, thank you for that. Psalm chapter 130. We will not be long because the Spanish are coming in a little bit, so we need to make sure we're out of their way. We are in our series. We've been going for probably, I think this is message number 20 out of the book of Psalms, and it's been an encouragement. We're going to look at a subject today I think that would be an encouragement to us. We're going to talk a little bit about hope. You know, you've heard it said that you can survive without a lot of things for a certain period of time. Food, water, shelter, clothing, transportation, and so forth. But really, you cannot continue a day without hope. And in one of the great things about being saved is we have a hope that is anchored to a very, very strong foundation. If you just listen to, if you watch the news or you, all these different things, and you hear what's going on in this world, it's kind of hard to have hope when you see where our world is going. You'd almost question having children, to be real honest with you. But as Christians, we understand that God is in control of everything. And we understand that one day, and I believe it's soon, He's coming. And He is coming, and this world will unfortunately get what it deserves, but we even have hope in the second coming of Christ. But the fact that we're saved and we know Jesus Christ, we have hope. We have hope in heaven. We have hope that God hears us. We have hope that God knows everything in our life that's going on and that everything we do for Him is not in vain. Now, when we think of hope, we don't want to think of it in non-biblical terms. Non-biblically, hope is like, maybe this is going to happen, but maybe not, and I sure hope it does. Kind of like, for instance, if you're a Raider fan. You know, I hope my team's going to win. Let me help you right here. They're not. Okay? They're not. And they took the Rams down with them. I don't know what to say. But you hope your team wins. When we talk about hope in a sense of spiritual things, hope is an assurance of what God has promised us in the future. You understand the difference? When we have hope in the things that God tells us to put our hope in, that means it's going to happen, just hasn't happened right now, but we're assured that it's going to happen just as if it's already happened. And we can have hope because of God. It's not a wish. It's not a hope so. It's a know so. If you want a great definition of hope, I like Romans chapter 8, verse 24 and 25. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Okay? We're hoping for things that God promised us that we can't see with our natural eyes or feel, but we know it's going to happen. We just have to wait until God's timing that it happens. Hope is vital to all the essentials that we need in life. Job 11:8, and thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Hope brings security. Psalm chapter 71, verse 14, but I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Hope helps us to be thankful. And to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of His glory, of His mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hope helps us to change and understand the future. This psalm is a song of distress after some great trouble. We don't know exactly the timing or when it was written, what biblical story it was attached to. Some think it was written by Hezekiah when he was going through some things. But the psalm that speaks of distress and many other psalms that speak of distress are not just letters of complaining. The distress is brought forth with a solution. And that solution always points to God, right? You ever hear somebody come and complain about things? Things aren't going well. And it's like, you know, it's like the story, the lady was going to jump off the bridge, and the guy goes, don't jump off the bridge, just give me 5 minutes and let's talk. 5 minutes later, they both jumped, okay? That's not what we're talking about here. Whenever they talk about the distress they're feeling, it always points back to God and like, I'm human like you, but even though I'm distressing, I have hope in God, and hope is vital. So in our few minutes we have, I want you to mention the four places he tells us about that we can have hope and that help us to have hope. First of all, he mentions that there is hope in prayer. That's verse 1 and 2. Out of the depths have I cried unto thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. This writer, Hezekiah, whoever, illustrates what he felt like as he was going through whatever difficulty he was going through. The picture I see here out of the depths is drowning. The water overflowing your soul. Who do we think of when we think of that? Well, one of them is the writer of Amazing Grace. We've given his story before. His biography that he wrote, his autobiography, was called Out of the Depths. He was a former slave trader. He was a ship captain. He was very profane. I've mentioned many times. He said his goal was, if someone is in my presence for more than 20 minutes, my goal is to corrupt them. He was a very profane man, but guess what? God reached down and saved him. And that's probably why Amazing Grace is such a wonderful hymn, because it was his life story. And this is, we're seeing that wow, I'm in the depths of despair. You see that. But he took to prayer, regardless of the place of the prayer, out of the depths. You know, you can pray from anywhere. Another person I think of when I think about prayer, the place of prayer, I think of Jonah. If you read Jonah chapter 2, Jonah had a prayer meeting. Fortunately, he was in the belly of a great fish. There's a lot better places to have prayer meetings. Amen? Okay. I'd rather have a prayer meeting before I get swallowed than after I get swallowed. But Jonah was disobedient, and he didn't listen to God, and he did his own thing. And by the way, his trouble was his own doing. But yet he had enough common sense. When he got in trouble, he knew who to go to. And he went to the Lord in the midst of his struggle. And so often what happens to us is we allow the struggles to keep us from prayer instead of driving us to prayer. We say, well, it's so bad off, and Satan throws, I deserve this, and it's all, and we don't go to God, and God's like, I'm here, even if you're there because of disobedience, even because you're there because you didn't follow my way, I'm still here if you'll just turn course and you'll look to me. There's no place that you can get to that's so low that you can't pray to God. Okay? You know, prayer is our last resort, and it should be our first resort. But I'm glad that it's any resort. And so the place of prayer, you can pray from anywhere because there's hope that God can do something mighty. He turned Jonah's situation around. He goes, out of the depths have I cried unto thee. We see the passion of prayer. I mean, it wasn't some small thing. It was a big deal. If you think of Hezekiah and how Hezekiah came to God. Remember when Sennacherib was coming and he was going to come and destroy him, and they'd actually taken part of the land already, and they'd have beaten all these strong kingdoms. And they write a letter telling Hezekiah exactly what's going on. And I like what Hezekiah does. He brought the letter out and he just dropped it and said, Lord, you can read this. And he cried out to God for help. He said, look what he's saying about you. And guess what? God responds to that. Okay, that's when we get earnest about prayer. More than just, you know, I don't even know how it goes anymore. The children's prayer, now I lay me down to sleep. You know, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. That's cute, but this has no meaning. This is real, genuine prayer. We get so emotional sometimes, and we allow our emotions to get us all out of kilter. God goes, bring that to me. There's passion in prayer. Sometimes our prayer is a little more purposeful, a little more straightforward. Verse 2, he says, Lord, hear my voice. Let thine ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication. He wanted God not just to hear, but to move. By the way, sometimes we all feel like that we're praying and God's not doing anything. Now, I would say this. The Bible mentions several reasons why God doesn't listen to our prayers sometimes. Hebrews 11:6 tells us sometimes it's a lack of faith. It says, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We have to have faith that God, you know what's best, and I know you can work in this situation. And sometimes we don't have faith. Sometimes there's sin. Isaiah mentions it. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he may not hear. That's why whenever you go to God, the first thing you need to do is make sure your life is right. Lord, is there anything that I've done that has displeased you? And you know what? God answers that prayer really fast. Like, he'll bring it to mind, like, Lord, I shouldn't have done this. Don't let your sins come between you and your God. And sometimes we just don't have respect for God's ear, word. Proverbs 28:9 says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. That's pretty heavy duty if you think about it. God says, if you're not interested in listening to me, then if you pray to me, you know, I don't want to hear it. I'm not going to hide it here. Even his prayer shall be an abomination to hate intensely. It's like, don't talk to me. So we need to check these areas of our life. And by the way, sometimes God allows things in our life so we can get these things right so that God will hear us and we can have that open communication with him. Because hope, prayer is sometimes our only hope. And that's a good place to be, by the way. But you know, there's also hope and forgiveness. Look at verse 3 and 4. If thou, Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, O Lord, who shall stand? Let me answer that question for you. Nobody. Okay, that's rhetorical there. But there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Now he's painting the picture of somebody who is guilty and standing really before a holy judge. All of us are guilty of our sin. And really, we deserve punishment. But thank God that God wipes that away. He sure is. You know, we don't deserve forgiveness. Like, well, you know, that's a good person. They deserve salvation. No, they don't. No one deserves it. We look at some people and say, they don't ever deserve to be forgiven. Fact of the matter is, in God's eyes, sin is abominable. But God, thankfully, wants to forgive us. Thank God for his forgiveness. There's a record in heaven, but thank God that record can be reversed. I like 1 John chapter 5, 11 to 13. This is the record that God hath given us eternal life. And this life is in his Son. There's a record, you know. Some of you here, God bless you, I'm glad you're saved, I'm glad you're in church. But some of you had a record. I'm not going to mention any names. Okay. God said there's a record book. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And God said, it's recorded. It is there. Our eternal forgiveness is there. Thank God that God wants to forgive us. But not just eternally. God wants to forgive us as we walk on this earth. You say, well, you know, if God's forgiven us for all of our sins, he has. But as we live on this earth and we sin, if we're saved, it doesn't affect our eternal standing before God. That's been settled. But it affects our standing with God as we're living on this earth, our relationship with him. And God wants us to get forgiveness. Because forgiveness shows us our condition. He says, if thou, O Lord, shouldest mark iniquities, who shall stand? You know what he's saying? Lord, if you really wanted to hammer us, there's nothing we can do about it. He understands how bad his sin is. He understands that forgiveness is undeserved. Thank God that we get it anyhow. He says, if thou shalt mark, to observe or keep record. But thank God, God forgives us. And then verse 4, it shows us that forgiveness shows us that we should change. Verse 4 says, but there is forgiveness with thee. We like that part, amen? Just as I am, without one plea. Come just as you are. Those are both true. But there's a second part of the book. But there is forgiveness with thee that thou mayest be feared. Whoa, 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 what happened? The train just got derailed. No. God says, I forgive you And I want you to have forgiveness, because once you get forgiveness, that means you had an understanding of your sin, how bad your sin was, and you had an understanding of your sin, how it hurts our relationship, and you understood you need forgiveness. So now that should teach you to fear me so that you don't need to get forgiveness all the time. Do you understand the progression? Some of us were getting forgiven at about the same thing over and over and over, and you have no plan on changing. Part of forgiveness is understanding how bad it is so we can get forgiveness from it and we can get the power to forsake it. That comes by fearing God. By the way, why do we ask for God's forgiveness anyhow? Because we do fear him. Not some fear that God's going to step on us like we're some kind of bug, but that we're accountable to God for our sin and we know how God feels about sin and we want to have a right standing with him. It shows us that we need to change. The balance of God's forgiveness of our sins is the fact that we are still accountable to him for our sins. But there is hope in God's forgiveness. His forgiveness spurs us to change. Thirdly, there's hope in Scripture. Look at verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord much more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. He says, I'm waiting for the Lord. My soul's waiting. And in his word do I hope. Why? Because his word spurs us to keep going on while we're waiting for him to do what he is going to do and to fulfill his will in our life, no matter what is going on around us. There is hope in his word. By the way, everything we learn about God comes from his word. And we know his word is true. We know his word is perfect. We know his word is sure. So we stake our hope in God because the Bible tells us of our God. Hope in Scripture teaches us to be patient in waiting. I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait. Situations, all the different situations in life, but you know what? God's word's right there. We can be patient. As long as we know we're doing the things that we're supposed to do and we're trying to be as right with God as we can and we're not bringing drama into our life, we can be patient and wait in his word, knowing God will work in his time and in his own way. Patience is a good thing, by the way. Most of us just don't have time to wait for it, do we? How many of you are naturally impatient? Okay? And the rest of you are liars. Good. All right? I mean, look, come on. We go to a fast food place and the food's not done in 30 seconds. It's like, I'm waiting. It's like, how long would it take you to go home and cook that? We're just impatient. And Lord, I need patience. Okay? Can we get there? No. We need to be patient. God uses patience to teach us maturity. James tells us that. Let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's why he brings trials in our life. See, patience teaches us the things we need to be a well-rounded, complete, mature Christian. But that's why we don't like to be patient. And that's why we need to be patient. But his word helps us with that. In his word do I hope. Do we really understand God's word? People put their hopes in what people say. We hear somebody on the radio say this, and it's like, oh, that sounds good. I think, what does Scripture say? Sometimes you're going through a situation. You know what you need? You need a word from God. By the way, I don't mean these knuckleheads on television like, God just gave me a word. You know what? 95% of the time, you know what the word is? Pass the offering plate again. I kind of like that one. You know, that's all. It's all, you know, you want a word from God to hang on to? It's in the book. God spoke to me. Really? Yes. What verse was it? No. I had a dream last night. Wake up. Okay. How many of you would like it if the kind of dreams you had actually came true? Okay. You know, my wife one time had a dream that King Kong stepped on me. And I know that she didn't want that to happen because that's before we had life insurance. Okay. You may have just ate something. You may have had onions on your hamburger. Don't put your hope in that kind of nonsense. If you want a word to hang on to, sometimes you read the Bible and something jumps out on you, hang on to that. That's how God speaks to you. That's God giving you a not just a nugget of truth, man. He's giving you like a solid rock of truth hanging on that. How many have ever been let down? Don't raise your hand because it might be the person sitting next to you. You've been let down by somebody. I'll do this for you. I'll be there for you. And they weren't. Dave, I was thinking you. Remember that time? Okay. Listen, can I just tell you something? God never lets you down. If he says it, it's like, it's true. We can hope in what he says. And then, lastly, there's hope and grace. There's hope and grace. Verse 7 and 8, let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy. That's God not giving us what we deserve. And with him is plenteous redemption. Redeems us from our sin, redeems us from this life, buys us back from the devil and our sin. And he shall redeem Israel from all their iniquities. He already said earlier that we don't deserve it. Why does God even work with us? Because of God's grace. He shows his grace and his mercy. Here's a prayer you should never pray. We'll go back to hope number one. Lord, I just want what I deserve. Now, if you pray that, let the people next to you know so they can back away. Okay? I don't want God to say, God, you know, God, give me what I deserve. Listen, there'd be a pile of ashes. Okay? You know what I want? God, please don't give me what I deserve. Give me something better. I don't want that. And you know what? God is so good. He does not only not give us what we don't deserve, he gives us what we don't deserve. See, we're better off than we think. And I'm not being blind here that some of you are probably going through some situations in life that are tough. I get it. But you know what? Things could always be worse. You live in America. America's not some, but we have it pretty good in our country. We do. The worst person in America would be one of the richest people in the rest of the world. Let's be honest with you. And sometimes what happens, we let our problems get us down. And by the way, we all face them. And if you're feeling down, I'm not discounting how you feel. I'm trying to encourage you. It could be worse. You know, I think of Job. Oh, hey, you know, these guys came and stole this and blah, blah, blah. Oh, here comes another. Oh, yeah, by the way, this happened, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, everybody was. And then lastly, oh, by the way, all your children are dead. Just one. Sometimes we feel like that. It's like, can I catch a break? Well, isn't it nice to know if you know God that you can hope? And God will work. Sometimes he just wants us to look to him. Get our eyes off everything that's going around. Get our focus on Scripture. Make sure we're right with him. Spend time in prayer and watch him work in our life in ways which we do not deserve. What are you hoping in today? All of us hope in something. All of us are placing our eggs in a basket. We just don't know which one sometimes. Can I just tell you something? If we're going to get through this life spiritually successful, why don't we put our hope in God? Why don't we? That's when Christianity becomes more than just, I'm saved, to God is a vital, living, real part of my life. That's when God works. Let's hope in God. Let's all stand together.